Well, hey there, Lake Charles. How are y'all doing today? I've got the week off at Church of the King Kinder for the weekend, so I'm here with you guys. I get to wrap up this whole series of road trip, and I'll be honest with you, it's been an awesome series as we have went through making disciples and teaching people and just all the great parts of it. And this message today is titled The Never-Ending Story, and that's because our story is never ending. Like, we should be doing this, whether we're in this series or whether we're out of this series. We should continue right on doing exactly what we've learned through this road trip series, and that is make disciples, make more disciples, teaching them to be more like Christ. And so in Matthew, it tells us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, when we look at making disciples and stuff, we have to realize that we're called to three things. We are called to go, which is pretty easy for most of us. Like, the go part, I've got that down. I can go and talk to people, and I can befriend people, and I can do things and stuff, and I can put on events and get people there. The go's not really the struggle for me. But we're also called to make more disciples. And to me, that's probably one of the harder things. Not so much harder that it is to make the disciples, but to make the right disciples. And then the third thing is we're called to be. If we claim to be saved and we claim to be a Christian and we claim to be a Jesus follower, we're called to be more and more like Christ. And so I want to take us down this journey in the book of Acts is where I want to look at, because I believe there's some really good stuff that we are called to. And if we are not fully functioning the way God wants us to, it's going to be a real struggle. And I'm going to share some stuff, some intimate stuff in my life that I've only shared with a few people, but I'm going to share it today because I feel like God is wanting me to open up and be transparent with you guys, because this is a pastor doesn't mean that we don't struggle with this. And so this series has been as good for me as it has for everybody else. And so in Acts, this is Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, and this is what it says. While the apostles were in Corinth, Paul traveled through the entire region until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he was found several believers. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them. "No," they replied. "We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." "Then what baptism did you receive?" he asked. And they replied, "The baptism of John." Paul said, "John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later," meaning Jesus. "As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all." Now, here's what I want to talk to you about today. If we're called to go, that's pretty easy for all of us. But we're called to make disciples. And I want to be sure that when I'm making disciples, that I'm making the right kind of disciples. Because here's what oftentimes happens, and this is my personal story. I was a preacher's kid my whole life. My dad's been a pastor for 40-something years, and I grew up in very, very corrupt religious systems. And so at the age of 16, I began to serve in our church, and I began to lead ministries in our church. And all of what I had seen up to this point was make disciples, but we were making disciples just like what we were, and we were making other corrupt disciples. And so here's what began to happen. I began to learn how to manipulate, how to go behind the scenes to get what I wanted. All in the name of Jesus. All in the name of making another disciple. And I was teaching people how to be very manipulative and very corrupt. And I often wondered, why is the ministry so hard? Why am I struggling? Why do I not have the ease and what other people around me? I would look at my other pastor friends and stuff, and I would see how easy their ministries were and how the blessing of God was on them and their churches and their ministries. And I would look at my own, and I'm like, God, where are you? And the whole time I'm making disciples just as corrupt as I was. And so in the church, there was so much corruption that it eventually came tumbling down. And eventually I got severely hurt in ministry. And I left that church, resigned my positions, and sought after another one. I moved me and my family to a whole different community, a whole different state, to do ministry at a new location. But the problem was, is the same problems followed me. Because it wasn't the place that I was at. It was me. I had been taught to be a disciple like what we had been in, which was corruption and manipulative. Get what you want. Be on top. You have to be first. You have to win. It wasn't about what God wanted. And so in my new ministry, I had the same struggles, the same fights, the same process. Go behind the scenes, stir up trouble, and get things done my way. If you didn't like somebody, you just went and made things hard for them, turned people against them, spread a lie if you need to. It didn't matter as long as you got the results you wanted, as long as I came out on top. And when I was looking at this, thinking, we're called to go, that's the easy part. We're called to make other disciples. I want to be sure I'm making the right ones. Because I'm called to be more like Christ. When Jesus walked this earth, he wasn't about manipulation. He wasn't about getting on top. He wasn't about winning. He wasn't about being first. He tells us in Scripture, if you want to inherit the kingdom, then you got to be last. You have to serve. He came to be a servant, not to be served. And so I stepped out of ministry once and for all. I was done. I had seen enough corruption, and I figured if this is the best that church has, and this is the best that Christianity has, to be deceitful, to always have to win, to always be worried about myself and nobody else. And this is what the church has to offer. This is what we're teaching. This is what we're making new disciples to be like us, to be as underhanded as we are. I came to a point in my life that I didn't want any more of it. And so me and my wife stepped out of ministry very disappointed. And I began to go to some of my pastor friends, and I began to ask, what is different between your ministry and my ministry? Why is your ministry successful and blessed and my ministry is not? And I began to learn something that I had never learned before in my life. I began to learn about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now, a lot of people hear this, and it's like, ooh, the Spirit, I don't want anything of it. He's the weird one. We look at Jesus as being the kind one. He came and he gave his life for us. And we look at God as being the mean father because he made his son come, gave his life for us. And we look at the Spirit, well, he's just the weird one, and I don't want anything to do with it. And for years, I was feeling the same way. And finally, God had brought me to a time in my life where I said, okay, God, if there's more to this, then I'm open to whatever you have. And so I begin to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says right here, you know, when they were baptized in the Spirit, he laid hands on them and the Holy Spirit came into them. They begin to speak in other tongues and they begin to prophesy. What he's saying is there were miraculous things begin to happen when the Spirit of God fully entered them. Now, there's an argument, and this is where my struggle was, you know, okay, so if I'm saved and the Spirit of God comes into me at salvation, then why do I need to be baptized in the Spirit? If I have the Spirit at salvation, then I should have everything that I need. And I believe 100%. When I was saved, the Spirit of God came and lived in me. But I didn't live by the Spirit, even though He lived in me. And so I lived for myself. I had my own agenda. And so everything in my ministry was centered around me, not around God, not around the Spirit. I didn't even pay attention to what the Spirit was trying to tell me. I was more focused on what God, on what I wanted to do. And so when I begin to understand that, yeah, the Spirit lives in me, but have I been immersed in the Spirit? Am I immersing myself fully in the Spirit? And when I begin to understand that there's some things needs to change in my life if I want to see the miraculous, if I want to see what full things God has for me, this is what began to change. I begin to create a new cycle in my life where I used to wake up in the morning and say, oh, good Lord, it's morning. Instead, I begin to say, good morning, Lord. And I begin to wake up in the morning. I get up about 6 o'clock in the morning. And the first thing I do is I go grab a cup of coffee because, hey, coffee is next to godliness, right? Especially here in Louisiana, huh? And so I get a cup of coffee in the morning. My family's not awake. It's just me. And the first thing I do is I go and I turn on the TV, go to YouTube, and I put on worship music. And me and God sit there first thing in the morning, and I worship. I worship my God first thing in the morning. Then after I get done with a time of worship and stuff, and that's no certain period of time, I begin to put on sermons and I begin to listen to Scripture throughout the whole day. Like, look, we have the option of podcasts now. You can put a podcast on in your vehicle. You have Bluetooth earpieces. You can listen to worship music and you can listen to sermons all day long if you really want to. And so I begin to, as I go through my whole day, I immerse myself in the Holy Spirit. Every time that I can, I put on a worship song. I put on a sermon. I begin to fill my heart and my mind with what the Spirit of God wants me to do instead of what the flesh wants me to do. You've all heard the saying, whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to win. Am I feeding my flesh more than I'm feeding my Spirit? Or am I feeding my Spirit more than I'm feeding my flesh? And so I begin to change things in my life to be able to immerse myself in the Spirit. So I'm baptizing myself. Baptism is just that. It's meaning that you are immersing yourself. You're identifying yourself. They would take a white cloth. They would dip it in purple dye. They would baptize it in purple dye, and it would come out fully purple. And that's what baptism is. When we go into the water, we do water baptism. We are immersing ourselves in water baptism, and we are saying, I'm fully identified as a Christian. When we baptize in the Spirit, we are immersing ourselves in the Spirit and saying, I want today for you to be in control, not me. And so when I begin to do that, this is what took place that caused me to begin to think differently on this Spirit of God and baptism in the Holy Spirit. Me and my wife were at Kema. We had went and stayed the weekend. We were on vacation. And the hotel that we were staying in was overlooking the yacht club. And there was a sailboat. And you could tell that it looked like there was an instructor and then the guy was learning. And so he was going through some stuff and everything, and they were on this sailboat. It wasn't a very big sailboat, but they were on the sailboat. And then there was a lady and a little boy in a canoe next to him. And you could tell that they were all talking. They were all family. It looked like the husband was learning how to be a sailor and on the sailboat. And the wife and the son were in the canoe, and they were, you know, just watching and encouraging and everything. And so all of a sudden, they put the sail up, and these guys are standing around talking and everything, and a gust of wind fills the sail up on this sailboat, and this sailboat takes off like a bullet. Like, it is moving. And these guys are sitting back, and they're high-fiving one another, and they're laughing, and they're shouting and stuff. And, I mean, this sailboat is just getting it. And I look over to where the canoe was, and the lady and the boy are like, they're working themselves to death trying to catch up to this sailboat. And God began to speak to me. He said, you know, that sailboat, the sailboat is like having the Spirit of God with you. And He's driving the ministry, and He's filling the ministry, and you're baptized in that Spirit, and you're immersing yourself in that Spirit every day. And this is what it's like. The canoe is what you used to be. See, they're both going to get to the same destination. It's just one's going to have a whole lot more fun and have a whole lot less work. The canoe was when I was saved. I had the Spirit in me. But He wasn't driving the ministry, I was. He wasn't filling my sails, I was working to do it. Salvation is free, but the kingdom is not. And so just because we're saved, we're going to get to the same destination, but it's going to be a whole lot harder. And so when I'm looking at this sailboat and I'm looking at this canoe and I'm like, God, I want to be in that sailboat. I'm tired of the canoe. I want to be in the sailboat. God told me, He said, then you're going to have to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't believe that speaking in tongues is evidence of salvation, or that speaking in tongues, you have to do that for salvation. I believe there's miraculous things that happen when you are baptized in the Spirit and you are following the Spirit and you are immersing yourself in the Spirit every day. I believe that's when things happen. I believe speaking in tongues is one of them. But I also believe that there's prophetic word that comes. I also believe that there's healing that comes. There's miracles that come. And for me, I wanted to see all of that. I wanted to see the blessing. I wanted to see the fullness of God. And God said, then stop trying to do it your own way and just simply do it mine. The baptism of the Spirit, for me, we're called to go. That's easy. We're called to make. I really want to be sure I'm making the right disciples. But we're called to be. We're called to be more like Christ. And if I'm going to be more like Christ, then I'm going to have to be closer to the Spirit. I'm going to have to let the Spirit lead me and guide me. When I was in ministry before, I was very angry. I was very upset. I had no mercy. I had no love. None of that was evident in my life. And I used to think, what's different between me and this other person? Why are they so happy in ministry and I'm so miserable? And one of my friends finally looked at me and he said, Kevin, it's because I'm living by the Spirit, you're living by the flesh. It was the hardest thing that I had heard. Matter of fact, I didn't talk to him for 2 weeks. And then finally it dawned on me that he's right. I wasn't immersing myself in the Spirit of God. I was taking my fire insurance, my salvation, and saying, this is good enough. This is as far as I'm going. But that just wasn't enough for me. I don't want to just get to heaven. I want to experience heaven here on earth. When you begin to live a kingdom life and you begin to let the Spirit take control of your life and you release control, that's when the fullness of God begins to appear in your life. That's when you begin to see the miraculous happen. There were about 12 men in all that day. You know, I think about all the people in the past when I did ministry that I led in a direction and I taught them how to be deceitful and how to come out on top. Just think, if I would have been able to teach them how to make a disciple like myself now, where could the ministry be? Dr. Seuss has a saying, oh, the places you will go. Well, I've been to a lot of places, but I haven't done well in all of them. I'm excited on the second half of my life as I'm topped one hill, headed down the next. The places that I will go, the people that I will meet, the disciples that I will make, I want them to be the Christ follower, led by the Spirit, immersed in what God wants and what God is doing, and not deceitful, not fake, not manipulative, but a true God-fearing, God-seeking person. That's what changes hearts and changes lives. When people look at our life that has gone from not being led by the Spirit to I am immersing myself in the Spirit daily, and something is different when I walk out. In a world that is so fake around us, people are longing for real. That's why I wanted to share my story with you today. Because if I could go back 20 years ago, I would go back and tell my younger self, immerse yourself in the Spirit. Teach people how to be a disciple, not teach them how to come out on top. So if that's you today, and maybe you look back at your life and you're like, you know, this whole road trip has been a great experience for me, and I don't want it to stop. I want it to be the never-ending story. But I want to do a story different than what I have in the past, because that was right where I was. Like, I never want to do my story the way that I used to do it. I always want to do my story now with God and the Spirit of God. And if that's you, and you're like, okay, well, how do I immerse myself in the Spirit? I just want to pray for you. And my encouragement for you today is, when you wake up in the morning, instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, wake up and say, good morning, Lord. I can't wait to worship you. I can't wait to spend time with you. You know, to be honest with you, when you and your spouse were dating, you couldn't wait to wake up and go see that person, to be with that person, to spend time with that person. That's all you thought about. Why isn't that the same with the Holy Spirit of God? So I want to pray for you. And my encouragement is, worship God all day long, not just at certain times. Worship Him all day. Get in God's Word all day long. And that may be that you're reading the Word of God, or it may be that you're putting a podcast on of a sermon. Maybe it's this one right here, or another one that Pastor Todd and them have done. Maybe it is listening to sermons throughout the day. But immerse yourself in the Holy Spirit and watch and see if miraculous things don't start happening in your life. So, Father, I pray for people today. I pray that the Spirit of God will go forth right now and begin to work on hearts, Father. That You will begin to show us, Lord, that we are called to go. And we're called to make other people, Father. We're called to make disciples like us. And Father, if I'm going to make a disciple like me, then I need to make sure that I am ready to make a disciple like me, that I am in a place where I need to be at with the Spirit of God. And Father, we're called to be more and more like You every day and to bring people farther down the road to being like You. Father, I pray the Spirit of God will fall on people today. Lord, that You will put a hunger inside of them to immerse themselves in Your Spirit. Father, that they will relinquish control of their own life to what Your will has, to what Your Spirit leads them to, Father. And that they will begin to see miraculous things happening in their life. I ask this in Your name. Amen.